The following sermon is by Elder H.M. Brock at Winsboro, Texas, in September the 9th, 1956. The text is taken from Ecclesiastes.
Heavenly Father, if not woefully deceived, this day. Thou hast, O Lord, blessed us not only with a beautiful day, naturally speaking, and the sun has shone so brightly, but also, O Lord, we trust that we have enjoyed a beautiful spiritual day, and the sun of righteousness has been our light, and we have rejoiced in the manifestation of thy loving kindness toward us. Now, O Lord, as we have gathered together in this place, and we trust have been gathered in accordance to thy will, at the close of this natural day and the shades of a natural night, we pray the continuation of the brightness of the sun of righteousness to shine upon us. May it please thee, O Lord, that thou wouldest continue thy glorious mercies toward us in permitting us to worship thee in spirit and in truth for a few moments of time. We desire to thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast seen fit to call and to qualify and send forth and use ministers who proclaim the doctrine of God, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, by grace through the merits of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, this evening, as one whom thou hast called and qualified and sent, we trust to this place, that thou wouldest use him to preach the unsearchable riches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the comfort of this people, to the edification of the church, and to the praise of the matchless name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the ever-blessed Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray thee that thou wouldest be pleased to impute unto him the mind of the Christ on this occasion, that he might speak as Christ speaketh. O God, that thou wouldest bless him with tongue of angels, that he might be given to express and use proper words in expressing the truth to the edification of this church and to the comfort of thy believing children in this part of thy moral meaning. O Lord, not only do we desire to ask thee to bless the speaker, but that thou wouldest bless the hearer with ears to hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. We realize, O Heavenly Father, that we are not able to hear aright. We are not able to understand unless that it pleases thee to reveal unto us and to open our ears and give us hearts to understand the things pertaining to God and godliness. We feel that it would be just as easy for us to create a world as it would be, even to hear the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, void of the direct operation of thy Holy Spirit. O God, we pray that thou wouldest be pleased to come into thy midst, to condescend with thy Spirit, that thou wouldest, O God, calm our troubled breast, and that thou wouldest, O Lord, cause us to be permeated with the loving influence of thy Holy Spirit on this occasion, where that we might all be lifted up, raised up together to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For Lord, that we realize that in reminiscing over the experiences of the past, that thou hast raised us up many times, if not to see, even though that we have fallen low and gone down into the perdition and into the horrible pitfalls of sin, that thou hast rescued us time after time. We trust thee, Lord, that thou wouldest rescue us again and raise us up and let us to rejoice in the wonderful doctrine of God our Savior. We pray thy blessings upon this service, that those of this congregation may well say after it is over, it was good to be here. O Lord, bless not only this people, but thy people over this land and country, those of thy precious children scattered everywhere in the different nations of the earth, that thou wouldst bless them, O Lord, with thy Spirit. Heavenly God, we pray thee to bless those who have asked an interest in our petitions. Bless those who have said, pray for us, with the blessing that thou seest that they stand in need of. That thou wouldest bless us not only through this night, but through the morrow and through the coming days of life. That thou wouldest guide and guard and direct our footsteps. And that thou wouldest inspire our thoughts with thy love and with that great faith. That thou wouldest, precious Father, put a new song into our mouth, even praises unto thee. That we may walk and talk as becoming to thy little children as we sojourn here. And O Heavenly Father, that when we come to faith, the end of our journey, when we have served the purpose that thou hast in us being here, if it could comport with thy precious and thy holy will, give us grace sufficient in that hour of death, that we might even be able to see through the veil and to see in that endless eternity. So, O Lord God, that as we part from this life, that we might be blessed to do so in peace with thee and with all just men, awaiting the resurrection morning, and on that final morning, that thou wouldest receive us up into heavenly land with the complete family of God, there where that we can perfectly praise thee in the endless eternity, singing praises forever and forever unto thee, where that no pains ever are experienced, where that no death ever claims a loved one, where that no trials, nor no troubles, nor temptations are ever to be experienced, but all would be joy and happiness forever, and ever is our prayer, if not deceived, that we ask it in the name of that blessed character, Jesus Christ, who art thy Redeemer, who art thy Son, and our Redeemer, we trust.
Trust that the Lord may open up our throat somewhat, that we may be able to speak, hoarse and badly worn. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets. Hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. We realize that the church, the true church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is typically portrayed in many instances as a woman. That also that there's so-called churches that are typically portrayed as women. It's a vital necessity and concernment to the children of God to know the marks of distinction between that that's true and that that's false. In my deliberations, I have no desire whatsoever to speak one word that might be an offense to anyone. My whole desire is God being my helper, and I know to speak the truth, I must have help, and the help must come from God. My whole desire is that I might speak the truth, and through the grace of God Almighty, being able to show the marks of distinction of the true church of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that in our country that there's a general sentiment among lots of people, many of my friends and my neighbors, that would tell you and do tell me that it doesn't make any difference which church, just so that you're identified with the church, the so-called church. But there's a strange woman in this country, and there's a virtuous woman. My humble desire tonight is to speak in praise of the characteristics of that virtuous woman, the bride, the Lamb's wife, the church of the true and the living God. She who is adorned with the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She who's been guided from time immemorial by the guiding hand of the divine Spirit of Almighty God. She who's not founded upon any merits of her own. But she who looks to her head and her husband for all of her guidance, all of her meat, and all of her drink. Solomon at this time, after the diligent search, after the divine guidance and leadership of the Spirit of Almighty God, was deeply moved, no doubt in heart and soul, and concerned not only for the welfare of the church of Jesus Christ in that day and age of the world, but for instructions to those of God's children that lives in my day and in your day and in the days that are yet to come in her travels here in this world. Solomon was a wise man, a wiser than he has never lived, neither will there a wiser than he live in this world. And he found more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. With all of the wisdom that God blessed him with, and led him to look upon and behold in that day and age of the world, did Solomon find something that wasn't there? and what is yet none. And he found it bitter than death. May I stop and ask you at this time, is there anything to this fleshly body that stands before you that you could imagine from carnal reasoning that's more bitter than death? But this woman that Solomon found, whose heart was snares and nets, was more bitter than death. That's something that we'd like to meditate upon, is one whose heart, let us keep that in mind, whose heart is snares and nets, and whose hands are bands. A snare or a net in short and simple language is a trap set to catch somebody. And the bands of her hands are to hold that that's caught. This woman that's under consideration has many snares and many nets, and she's caught the vast amount and plurality of humanity there in the world. In these snares and nets, though they be in disguise, though they be, in one sense of the word, concealed from the natural mind of man, yet they are there, and they are there to catch you, or me, or any other of the human family. Therefore, we find that this woman has many inducements to attract the attention of our fellow man here in the world. She's got a beautiful house that she dwells in. She's got clothing that's beautiful, that portrays her figure in an attractive manner to the human eye. She's got every form of inducement for every age and every group of children, mine or yours, that's calculated to pull them in to her snare and her net. to hold in the bands of her hands. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the virtuous woman, heart is not made of snares and nets. She's holding forth no inducement save the righteousness of God our Savior. She uses no makeup, and she's comely to look upon. She's a virtuous woman, and God Almighty has so directed that she's always been kept as the apple of his own eye. I don't know about you, but I do know about me. For a long, long time, I've been associated with people who seemed to be concerned about my welfare and about my eternal destiny. But I want to say to you tonight that so far, by the grace of God, escaped the nets and snares that's been set for me. And in what Solomon found, he didn't stop by virtue of the things that he said was in this strange a woman's heart, but he confirmed and held forth a hope, yes, to the children of God. For he said, whoso pleases God shall escape from this woman, from these men, and from these nets and the bands of her hands. But I stop sometimes, and I fear and quake and tremble. Am I one who has pleased God? Am I one that the good pleasure of God's will is eternally fixed upon? I don't know whether that I am or not, but if so, that I be one who so pleases him, I want to tell you tonight that I'm one upon whom that God fixed his love in eternity. I'm one that was in the embraces of his everlasting love. I'm one that was chosen in Christ Jesus before the world begun. I'm one that God ordained unto salvation. I'm one
are that God I espoused unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm one that the Son accepted and has the gift of the Father, and one for whom that he engaged here in this world of sin and sorrow. One for whom that he poured out his blood upon Calvary's Hill. Yea, one for whom that he rose the third day for their justification, and when that I'm given to think upon these things, I'm one not only I embraced in the good pleasure of God the Father's eternal will, but I'm one embraced in the free determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and for whom that Jesus come into the world to suffer and die. I ask that we poor wretched and sinful creatures of the dust might have life, and that more abundantly if you please. So then, children, I see this woman beautifully portrayed in many figures that's been given to us through the times and shadows, and every one of the types and the shadows that point to the church of the true and the living God is a concrete proof and evidence of the fact that this woman was the elect woman, that this woman was chosen of God Almighty in eternity and before the world was. And it's wonderful inasmuch as there's no promise to escape from this strange woman except it please God then. It's wonderful to know that she didn't choose him, but that he chose her. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Brethren, tonight, if I could know that God chose me, I would have assurance of my eternal destiny and my abode eternally after that I'm through here in this world. And I won't come to that blessed and holy child Jesus, who declared by the Holy and Divine Spirit of Almighty God that dwelt in him, that he came not to do his own will. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, of all that thou hast given me. I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And now then, here's the hope to this woman that's purchased. This one that's been purchased with the price of his own blood, that Jesus I too, I redeem her, I from under the curse and condemnation of the law. I is not I to lose one of the mystical body that constitutes the bride, the elect woman, if you please. And then I want to say to you today, tonight, God being my helper, then this woman that we have under consideration, looking to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, beholding him through an eye of faith, behold the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, as the garment of her salvation. She looks not to the merits of her own righteousness, but verily she's blessed with knowledge to know that all of her righteousness is but as filthy rags before God Almighty. And if she's to escape all snares and nets, she's to be clothed upon with the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God. And I want to say, children, that I'm persuaded that the strange woman is portrayed typically in Jezebel, the harlot, and that she's figured in the prophecy as the seven women by Isaiah. I believe that I desired to take hold of one man. Yes, and that said that they'd eat their own meat, and that they'd wear their own apparel on thee. Let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. I want to say, children, that wonderful and grand and glorious thought that she had. But I want to say to you, children, that her righteousness won't stand the test before God Almighty. I want to say that her garments are such that they do not clothe, yes, clothe such in such a way that they are our garments that equips this church of the blessed Son of Almighty God for an entrance into heaven and immortal glory, which our garment is only the pure and spotless robe of righteousness which Jesus wrought out, and with which he clothed upon her in preparation for her readiness to be delivered in that grand and glorious heritage that God has prepared for all them that love him at his second coming. So then we see her in her comeliness as she is led of the Spirit and grace of God as I has to assemble in church capacity for not for the purpose of displaying her beauty or of portraying her righteousness in any sense of the word, but in humble dependence upon God Almighty and His grace to enable them to come together in love and fellowship one for another to worship and praise and adore His grace and good name for what He is and what He is to her and what He has done for her and what He is doing for her at this time and what His blessed word holds forth on His promise that He will continue to do for this the church of the true and the living God. And I want to say, brethren and sisters, that He's said to her, among occasion to forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as some brethren forsake not the word of divine authority, the word of her husband, her head, and her all and all here in the world as far as that's concerned. Her king, her lord, and her master. And He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Do you believe, brethren, that word forsake is a word that she may that she may fail to see executed in her travels here in the world. No, it's the word of a king, and in the word of a king there's power, and in the power of the king there is bringing together those that constitute the mystical body of the bride, the lamb's wife, if you please. And now then, when she comes, she doesn't come with a proud heart and a high head, with flattering lips, but she comes, if you please, humbly together in fellowship and love. She comes, children, in humility of the Spirit, dependent upon her head and husband, for every word of praise uttered in Him to His great and good name, for every prayer, meditation of heart, in prayer to the throne of God's grace, for every dropping of the gentle news of the gospel of the blessed Son of God. You know the strange woman, the one that's more better than death, whose heart is snared and nets church, and people, they'll send them to school, and give them intellectual knowledge to equip them to preach the unsearchable riches of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's caught many of the young people in our day and age. I want to leave this thought to you, that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, and that he was a learned man, and that he is one that is in the snare or net, and who had gone to the authorities to be prepared with authority to find all that fall from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God. But remember, whoso pleases God shall escape. And Paul saw on his way from Jerusalem down to Damascus, was stricken down light above the brightness of the noonday's sun shone out around about him. And I believe with all of my heart that as far as my intellect is concerned, that Saul was equipped as well to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ before that light shone out as it was after. But according to God's eternal purpose in his choice of him as a vessel to bear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, he had no qualifications at all before that light shone out around about him, above the brightness of the noonday's sun. And I was stricken blind, and I want to confirm to you tonight when we read in the holy and blessed word of Almighty God concerning his qualifications to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, that he didn't learn it of man, neither was he taught it of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm persuaded that every time the light of the Spirit and the grace of God Almighty shines in our hearts or round about us, as it did in Paul's case, that it is for a specific purpose to reveal some of the things that God is pleased with from all eternity, and to bring in to the church of the true and the living God, not only those ordained to ministerial work in the church of the true and the living God, but also the deacons and the lay members and those of the whole body of the church and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul was no exception to this wonderful and glorious rule of the good pleasure of God's own will. Now then, what else do we find about the identity of the true church of Jesus, our Christ, the blessed, our Son of God, as she existed in the world, here as the organized body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, our Christ, the blessed, our Son of God. I want to tell you our mark of identity. I let her go with her throughout the ages of our existence here in the world. And that is that she's assured, the truth of the gospel of the blessed Son of God. She's granted through the favor and mercy of Almighty God the ordinances that's given, that's a God-given gift of Almighty God, and for the purpose of her praise to His great and good name, for I am the ordinance given to the church of the true and the living God. I is portrayed, yea, not only in baptism, the Lord, the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the renal sprinkling that will ever typically portray the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the baptism in the watery grave, which is one of the ordinances of the church of the true and the living God. And then again the supper that he instituted before that he went away holds forth to the glory of Almighty God, praises in that it portrays our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as him who was crucified upon Calvary's hill, whose blood was poured out there for the remission of her sins. And our children, sometimes I can take comfort in our communion, our service. That's not to be explained in words to anyone in this low ground of sin and sorrow. To think my unworthy state of feeling and existence and the sinfulness of my fleshly body that I might take of that broken body and of that blood that was poured out upon Calvary's hill. And I am the spiritual sense of the word. To take it in faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ for my strength and spiritual strength and comfort as I humbly go about from place to place. So then, children, I want to say to you tonight that she's a lovely woman, that she's a woman that's sought out and that's followed meekly and humbly before God Almighty and with the imputed righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She needs not no inducements, no sir. And when I say that, I want to be fairly understood. understood by one and all. I don't mean, brethren, that I've got trouble, little children who've been moved by the Spirit and the grace of God Almighty to come humbly before her, confessing their sins and expressing their hopes in the Lord Jesus Christ are not to be encouraged. No, sir. I want to say above everything else that I hope God Almighty may direct me so that I shall never discourage one of God's humble little children that seeking the truth of Jesus. That seeking to dwell in fellowship in the church of the blessed Son of God, for somehow or another, I believe this is not only a virtuous home, a virtuous woman, but a virtuous home. And I want to say to you tonight that I'd rather that my children would be assembled in the church of the old Baptist and in the presence of her who's virtuous and under the few droppings from on high than to be anywhere that I could think about in this world in which that I live because I'm confirming as best God will enable me that she is not one to lead one astray. She's not one to discourage or to falsify to those who come in to her midst, but with open arms, she's always ready to receive in love and in meekness of the Spirit all that are directed by the Spirit and power of Almighty God to seek her companionship there in this low ground of sin and sorrow. So then I want to say tonight that the wisdom of God that led Solomon to behold these things is the wisdom that's directing her course here in the world. And if I be not mistaken, this is the wisdom that contrived all of her sojournings here in the world, her salvation from every snare and net and every band that she may have fallen into. And I want to affirm to you tonight that they've always fallen into snares and nets and pits and other places from time to time. But this God that I'm talking to you about and who's promised that you shall escape is the God who hath delivered and who doth deliver and who yet will deliver. And that's a grand and glorious thought that we have such a God and such a promise that's to us, the church of the true and the living God. We might wonder why sometimes that these things are such a thing that we are such as we are. But I want to say God Almighty never appointed her under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you please. And somehow another, I don't know anything better than to know that God appointed her to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He never appointed salvation to her any other way than through the Lord Jesus Christ. No, sir. Therefore, Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, is the way that God appointed her to obtain salvation, if you please. And it's no wonder that then that there's none other name given in heaven or among the inhabitants of the earth, whereby that we must be saved.